Institutes of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by Longbine Auto. com. Live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood all in the studio today. Our studio engineer, Dan Courtright. First time again that we have all been together in a little bit.
Indeed. Good morning, gentlemen.
Dylan, busy day coming up for you.
Yeah.
And it, myself.
Yes.
But it's been
we have big games today.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
big games.
It's a busy weekend.
And I'm emphasizing big.
It's a big weekend in sports here in the Emporia area, of course, with disc golf, Emporia State hosting their regular season finale today, a two-day event with some championships today, with some national tournament berths on the line that'll be held at a couple of local courses today. It all wraps up at Champions Landing tomorrow. Game two of the Turnpike Tussle is today with Emporia State Baseball. Man, yesterday, such a tough
way. Rough.
Man, such a tough way to end it as they give up three runs in the ninth. And, you know, that's exactly how they had to win their first series against Northwest Missouri on the road, is to come back from game one. And I think I thought that what Coach Hill said afterward was really smart. Said, you know, we did some things we probably shouldn't have done. You know, they got a big out, and there was a big, you know, let's say an outlet of emotion on the mound. He said, you know, we woke them up a little bit. We woke them up. We had three more outs that we had to get. And I thought, man, that's such a great teaching point for your team, because if the other team, for whatever reason, if they're dormant a little bit, if they're down, I mean, this is true even in slow pitch softball. Just let them stay sleeping.
Yeah.
Don't give them any reason to get mad or get woken up or get fired up. And I think that was a really great teaching point by Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and those moments hopefully will then result in a better outcome down the road in other games. So
yes.
It's, you know, it is what it is. You move on to the next game and you hope for a better result.
Dylan, Emporia High wrapping up their season on the bowling lanes this week.
Yes. Yes. A good showing. Three of the five medaling yesterday at the state tournament.
Awesome job.
In Wichita. And two boys and one girl. And four of the five will be back next year. So, future is bright. I know the boys had a good shot at going to state, but just kind of fell a little bit short in regionals. But girls were young. They still have some pieces back as well. So, yeah, good solid day for them on the lanes at North Rock yesterday in Wichita.
North Rock lanes in Wichita. There was a number of sub-state basketball games yesterday. Of course, big rivalry game, Olpe and Madison, and with Olpe coming out on top on the girls' side, and a game in which they missed like 15 free throws. And, yeah, Coach Slay, as he said, sometimes you just have to survive in advance, and, boy, probably don't want to do that again. You're probably not going to get away with that free throw shooting percentage again.
No, and he had mentioned the fact that just watching the game from the coach's perspective, a lot of girls on that court were tight. You know, it's a rivalry game on top of the whole deal. You're playing for high stakes. And, you know, Olpe was missing free throws. Madison was then turning it over. And it was a rough last few minutes just from the standpoint, you know, both teams want to win so badly.
Oh, yeah.
And you're trying to make plays, and sometimes you get stressed and tight, and that's, I think, what happened. And Olpe did just enough to win it at the end.
So we will have a couple of championship games for you. Doubleheader coverage comes your way as we will have Olpe and Madison Part 2, the rematch. See if the Madison boys can get the comeback win over Olpe. That will start at 5 o'clock, 4:40 pregame, and then we'll have the Olpe girls to follow in two sub-state championship games on Country 101.7. So because of that, we will not have Kansas State basketball, with Kansas State being in what I have been told is a bubble elimination game.
So it's a huge game.
For Kansas State and Cincinnati, you lose this game, you're probably off the bubble and you ain't getting back on.
Yeah, the only way you would be able to even remotely sniff, obviously, would be to win the Big 12 tournament, which we know that's going to be a gauntlet to get through.
Yeah,
so
it's like the regular season has been a gauntlet to get through. We've got, of course, Emporia High girls looking to punch their ticket to state over this Great Bend team. What do you know about Great Bend, Dylan?
Well, this will be a rematch from the regular season, a 43-29 victory for the Lady Spartans back on December 15th.
Sure.
They have a girl going to Washburn, Sadie Spray, 17 points a game, and Emporia High held her to 5 points in the regular season meeting. So these two teams know each other. Should be a really good one. I know Carolyn Dorsey's going to want to put the pressure on early, and I expect a very big crowd at Spartan Gymnasium here this evening.
Well, and the other game, and they, you know, so they've got somebody going to Washburn, and Emporia High has got somebody going to Emporia State.
That's right, Eddie Kermer.
And, of course, it's Turnpike Tussle weekend as the Lady Hornets and Hornets will travel up to Washburn for a 12:30 RV Doc pregame show, 1 o'clock for the doubleheader coverage on Mix 104.9. Looks like everybody, I don't think that they've officially punched Washburn's ticket in, but looking at some of the tiebreakers, it appears that Central Oklahoma and Washburn could be tied, but when you extrapolate them out, it looks like Washburn's going to win that tiebreaker. So everybody's pretty much locked in on the women's side. On the men's side, the men can win, must win to get a six seed, and they would also need Missouri Southern and Central Oklahoma to both lose, because they won't win the tiebreak on either one of those teams because they both lost the only games they played against those teams. So Emporia State must win today and get two losses in order to get the six. Otherwise, it looks like they would be the eight seed.
Would that be the worst they could? And if they lost the game, would eight be the worst?
Eight would
be
the worst. Yeah,
okay.
They're solidly in the tournament, but eight would be the worst because my logic on that is that one team will finish sixth, and then they'll lose the tiebreaker with whichever team finishes seventh if they were tied for that. Obviously, if one of the other teams lost and one won, then they could finish in seventh place. So it looks certainly like there will be Emporia State basketball on Wednesday with two games at the tournament. But, you never know what will happen. So we'll see if they – and Washburn's not going to be an easy customer today on the men's side.
Well, and no matter what seating you're playing for, bottom line is you want to go beat Washburn. So, that's just the main thing.
Need any other reason.
No.
You never have needed – even back when they were called the Lady Blues, you didn't need a reason to go up and beat Washburn.
Right.
So, and then we do want to give a quick shout-out here before we start to the Emporia Lions Club.
Yes.
Brought us some breakfast this morning, biscuits and gravy. We always shout out Coach. We're going to bring him on here, and if people bring us food, we give a shout out.
That's, you have to.
That's the way it works. So we'll be bringing on Coach Anthony Markowitz, head baseball coach for Emporia High. We also talked with Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers. They are in action today and going to be wrapping up a disappointing season for the Shockers down in Wichita. But the Emporia Lions Club is having one of their main fundraisers today, and it's over at the Senior Center. $10, biscuits and gravy. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Going on now, I think, to 11:30 this morning.
Okay.
And so head on over there. We can all vouch. You won't be disappointed.
I agree. Yeah, you will be full. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Before we get to Coach, I believe it's time for our final winter Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week.
Yes.
One for Emporia High and one for area schools. So, Dylan, what do you got here for Emporia High this week?
Well, for Emporia High, we're going to the boys bowling team, and Kadrick Crouch was sixth at state yesterday, bowled a 277 in his first game and bowled a 673 series in the three games. So I know Coach Anthony Markowitz would appreciate Kadrick to hopefully carry that over in the baseball season. Kadrick going to be a big piece for Coach Markowitz. So Kadrick Crouch of the Emporia High Boys bowling team is our Emporia High Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And who do you go to for the area athletes?
And we're going to the Madison Boys basketball team for this week's Area Athlete of the Week. Colton Ish, 21 points against Colony Crest on Thursday to get them into the sub-state championship game against Opie coming up this evening from Flint Hills. So Colton Ish, our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
So congratulations, guys. And remember, if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, you can get a hold of us. Just call the station, 620-342-1400, 620-342-1400. Or you can email Dylan, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, SherwoodD@KVOE.com. We'll have a couple of weeks off, but we'll start in with the spring athletes here in just a few weeks. Coming up next, Anthony Markowitz. We are set to preview Emporia High Spartan Baseball as we start to turn the calendar to spring sports. That's next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, finding the right vehicle for you is what we do. And that means helping you save money, too. And right now, we have some sweetheart offers. Treat yourself to a sweet deal like a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom Crew Cab for just $59.99. Or well-qualified buyers can get 2.9% APR financing up to 72 months. And there's more. Chevy owners, trade in your current Chevy and get a new 2024 Chevy Equinox and get up to $2,800 off MSRP. Or trade in your current Chevy and get $1,000 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Trailblazer, or rates as low as 1.9% with approved credit. Our professional sales team is ready to help you find what you need and help you get great savings. Like so many of our customers already know, Longbine Auto Plaza is the place to find the right vehicle for you. Remember, you always get a better deal at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Arkansas Razorbacks had a pair of historic pitching performances last weekend. On Friday night, Hagan Smith tied a school record when he had 17 strikeouts and the baseball team's win over Oregon State. The junior southpaw matched former Arkansas pitcher Jess Todd, who accomplished the same feat back in 2007. Less than 24 hours later, Robin Heron threw just the second perfect game in softball program history. The sophomore left-hander struck out 11 in the Razorbacks' 7-0 win over Illinois State. Former Arkansas standout Mary Half threw the program's only other perfect game 2 years ago. Heron's perfect game on Saturday came in front of a record home crowd for the Razorbacks, with over 3,500 people on hand to watch the celebration.
I mean, it was awesome, and just seeing everyone so excited for me really kind of made it feel really nice. I was just really proud of myself, proud of my teammates. Like, you can't have that without your teammates and your defense. So just really happy for the whole team.
Serving up some changes next on This Week in the NCAA.
Febreze. Fabric Talk.
Hey, it's me, your couch. Today's my favorite day of the week, Febreze Fabric Spray Day. The occasional deep cleanse are nice, but in between, you know I'm needing a refresh. Ooh, here she comes with the Febreze Fabric Spray. Oh, yeah, spritz them armrests. Don't be shy. Nothing like a good spray down to get me smelling so fresh and clean. Don't forget my back. Nice. Febreze Fabric Spray. It's just that easy. Now we can both breathe happy Febreze. La, 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 la.
The NCAA has announced new rules that will be implemented in the fall 2024 season. One major change is that players will now be allowed to contact the ball more than once on any single attempt on a team's second contact, so long as the ball is played to a teammate. Interference above the net will also now be challengeable by video review. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to the show. We are driven by LongBineAuto.com, and we are talking Emporia High Baseball. The Spartans getting set to get their baseball season underway here in a couple of weeks. And as we will move out of basketball season, we'll continue with our Emporia High interviews each week during the spring season. And Anthony Markowitz is the head baseball coach for Emporia High. Coach, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, last year, give us a little synopsis, a recap of how last year's team went for Emporia High School.
Record-wise, last year wasn't quite up to speed where we want to be. But I do think that our goal every year, and we talk to the guys about this, is to end the year playing the best baseball of the season, you know, towards the better part of the year. And that's definitely where we ended the year. Unfortunately, it was just a little bit too late.
Coach, key returners that you feel like you've got back from last year's team?
We're going to be kind of young again, but I think we do have some guys that were young last year that have been through some of the struggles that come with the beginning part of the year, the first year playing varsity. Owen Ruge, probably the biggest returner. I think he was top five in the state in doubles and top five in the state in strikeouts in 5A last year pitching-wise. And so he ended his year really, really well. And we'll look to him on the mound. He's going to play shortstop for us and hit the top of the order for us. There's a couple other juniors that saw a lot of varsity time last year. And Madden Seidel and Andrew Ruxton, and Andrew kind of came on strong at the end of the year. He's kind of played some third base for us and was good defensively. And then our senior, Aiden Ewing, you know, he's been with us all 4 years. He's the only senior on our squad this year, and he's the only senior, only guy in his class that's stuck through it. And so I think that speaks volumes of him, and he's done a great job leading us so far.
What about overall numbers in terms of guys out? Are you happy with that, or is that still kind of in a developmental stage for the program?
It's not quite what we want it to be, but I think we do have guys that want to be there every day. So, you know, it's tough when you get to the spring season. Guys have gone through fall sports and winter sports, and sometimes, you know, they're kind of struggling to get motivation to get out there. And so sometimes those guys get out there and they don't really show that they want to be there. You know, you can kind of see the body language and things like that, and you know, can't really blame them in some parts, but we want to try to get the best out of them. But I think we have 26 guys out there right now that have shown up every day, and we haven't had any complaints so far.
Coach, I know with tryouts this week and the first week of practices going on, what's been a big emphasis this week for you guys?
We've talked a lot the last few days, and honestly, to preface that, is we've had five really good practices in terms of what our coaches have evaluated. And now that's not five perfect practices. We haven't done everything great, but we've ended every practice on a high note. And we've talked to the guys a lot and kind of emphasized that at the beginning of practice each day, that we're going to call them out if they're not doing what, you know, we want them to do, or holding them, or we're going to hold them to our standards early in practice so that they can fix it and have time to get better throughout practice. And I think they've done it. I think our freshman guys, you know, have struggled a little bit at the beginning, and that's usually on par. But they've done a great job of fixing things, and we've had five good ends of practices.
Anthony Markowitz is our guest. He is the head baseball coach for Emporia High. Anybody in that group of newcomers, maybe that didn't play a big role for you on the varsity last year, that you think is going to be able to maybe take a step forward and have maybe an impact role for this year's Spartan team?
Yeah. We got a few juniors also that played primarily JV last year and kind of suited up some varsity. And so there's some spots for them, and that would be Luke Pittman, Landon Wolitz. Those guys, you know, have done a great job the first few days of practice, and there's spots for them to win as well. There's a lot of spots for a lot of guys to win. Chase Harrington played a lot of innings for us early in the year last year as a freshman, and that's hard. That's really hard, especially at the 5A level. And he went through some struggles last year, but he's put a lot of work in, and he's ready to go. And we look for him to to put together another good full season. You know, he was really good for us early, kind of plateaued a little bit, but I think that's pretty typical, especially as difficult as it is for a young guy to go through those things.
What would you evaluate, excuse me, as the strengths of this team, things you can maybe hang your hat on that will, if you can do them well, you'll have a little more success?
I think we're ahead so far swinging the bat than where we've been in previous seasons. Previous seasons we've had a lot of kind of trying to correct some bad habits, and I think that the first few days that we've seen them swing the bat, I think we're ahead for the first week there. And then as a whole team, I think, you know, our leadership, it's crazy to say with only one senior, but our leadership has been really good. Our guys know how we expect them to practice every day, you know, the focus, the attitude, the body language, things like that, and we haven't really had to battle any of those issues yet.
Can you talk a little bit about your schedule this year? I know with Keisha being able to, you know, extend the allotment of games that you can have up to, I think it was, what, 24 now?
26.
26, yeah. But
and thank goodness reasonable minds prevailed instead of all of these small-minded individuals who said that they can't play 26 games. Give me a break. Watching that discussion, Coach, I was just what are you talking about? That two games is going to make the difference? Yeah. You know, and listen, it's been a while since I've worked in a really small market with just, you know, these tiny schools. But, like, if you can't play the games, don't want to play the games, then don't play the games. Right. But if you're Emporia High or you're from, I mean, the City League coaches in Wichita where I came from, they were begging for more games all the time. So thank goodness this got passed.
Absolutely. You know, and then I'm going to counter that also. I agree 100%. The only kind of complaint I had with it was it happened after everybody's schedules were pretty much already set. And so for some programs that, you know, we play, our schedule's primarily doubleheaders, and we play two doubleheaders a week on the average week. It's pretty hard to fit in a fifth and a sixth game during that stretch. So we only had a few weeks where we looked at it and we found a few dates and we said we're going to try hard to schedule these dates with teams that we can be competitive with, because we already have a pretty tough schedule. And so I really think next year is the year that we will hopefully get the full 26 games on our schedule. It just, some dates that other teams were reaching out to us, it was kind of like the Wild West when that happened, because people were emailing and calling and doing everything they could to try to schedule, and we were getting calls from all the teams up in Kansas City that have some pretty high Division I recruits, and it's not that we don't want to play them, it's just that they were wanting to play us a day after we had a doubleheader on a Friday, after we had a doubleheader on a Tuesday, and I didn't think that would be beneficiary for our team. So we kind of had to try to be picky with that. But I do think that it's great for baseball in the state of Kansas. It's great for us when we can kind of fit it in and work our whole schedule. Because, you know, really I think you can start playing games during our spring break, which isn't ideal for us. But we start that next week after that, and I think if we can space some things out, we'll definitely be able to get 26 games in the future.
Anthony Markowitz, our guest, he is the head baseball coach for Emporia High School. Coach, one thing you said just a little bit ago was interesting. You said, well, there's some spots to win. How much competition do you have right now for those nine spots in the order?
Oh, there's a lot. There's some guys that have – there's some younger guys that have been really competing for those spots, and there's some older guys who want those. The tricky thing is we have a lot of guys that play the same – we have a lot of guys that play the same position that we're trying to get to play other positions to see what they can do. You know, we have – like I said, we're ahead a little bit with the bat, and so we have guys that can swing the bat that we're going to have to find a place for them in the lineup. You know, that's the thing about baseball, is if you can hit, we're going to have to try to find some place, but we can't put you out in the field if you're going to give up more runs than you produce. So we got to try to figure out how we can get guys comfortable playing some other positions. And also the tricky thing with high school kids too, is that getting them to understand that we want them to play other positions, not because they're not doing well at the position they're going to every day, but just because it could help our team more.
Plug your coaching staff. Who's helping you?
We got Coach Mejia. Aaron Mejia is our varsity assistant. Jacob Karras, he was a JV basketball coach, helping coach basketball. He's our JV baseball coach. And Brady McAfee is our JV assistant as well.
And one other thing, I guess I haven't asked you this before, but Jamboree at Burlington, how unique is that for you guys?
Yeah, that's
and
another.
Be the 15th of 15th.
Yeah, that's another thing that I thought was big. It gives us a chance to pretty much scrimmage against someone other than ourselves, which sometimes can get old. You know, you hear football coaches talk about that all the time. They just want to go hit somebody other than themselves. And so it's kind of the same thing. I think it gives guys a little more juice to show up and play. Unfortunately, it is during our spring break. We practice that day, but there's still people that, you know, have
sure.
travel plans and things. So I don't know what kind of a full squad we will have, but I do think that it will definitely help us see where we can plug guys in different spots. I think the rules on that are you can play only 12 innings in a day. There's four teams there. So we'll play three inning games and just kind of mix and match some younger guys, older guys, try to get everybody some work in.
Well, Coach, final thing for you, your expectations for this baseball season?
Kind of what I talked about earlier is I expect us to be playing our best baseball in May. You know, we have our home classic is absolutely loaded this year. So we got some tough games there, and hopefully we're playing our best baseball to compete against St. Thomas Aquinas, Andover Central. And then we come back with Hayden in May, and then we have regionals. And I think that if we can play our best baseball there, we're going to have a good mix of opportunities to win games along with opportunities to play against some state caliber teams, which I think is a good mix to get us ready for regionals. And so, you know, our goal every year is to make it to the state tournament. And we tell them if we're playing our best baseball in May, that's all it takes. All you got to do is win two games, be the better team for two games, and find a way to get there.
So first chance to see the Spartans will be at the Jamboree, and you said Burlington. At Burlington. That'll be March 15th. Season opener, Coach. When is that?
Against Ottawa that next week.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be I have the schedule right here in front of me. The season opener is March 21st. I believe that's a Thursday, correct?
Yep, correct.
That is at Ottawa. And then you'll play Wichita South, rare Saturday doubleheader at Soden's Grove on the 23rd.
So that'll be the opening day at Soden's Grove on the 23rd of March.
Hopefully it's beautiful weather.
Hopefully it is. Coach, best of luck. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll definitely have you back throughout the season.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Anthony Markowitz, head baseball coach for Emporia State. We'll take a timeout. Earlier this week, we talked, in fact, yesterday with Mike Kennedy. The Shockers are in action coming up tonight. They are playing Rice, and so the voice of the Shockers gets us clued in on Wichita State basketball for the year. Been a disappointing year for the Shockers. He is coming up next. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, live and local on KVOE.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, finding the right vehicle for you is what we do. And that means helping you save money, too. And right now, we have some sweetheart offers. Treat yourself to a sweet deal like a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom Crew Cab for just $59.99. Or well-qualified buyers can get 2.9% APR financing up to 72 months. And there's more. Chevy owners, trade in your current Chevy and get a new 2024 Chevy Equinox and get up to $2,800 off MSRP. Or trade in your current Chevy and get $1,000 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Trailblazer, or rates as low as 1.9% with approved credit. Our professional sales team is ready to help you find what you need and help you get great savings. Like so many of our customers already know, Longbine Auto Plaza is the place to find the right vehicle for you. Remember, you always get a better deal at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com.
Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. We are getting set to head into March Madness, and that means for Wichita State, of course, a trip to the American Athletic Conference Tournament. Mike Kennedy is the longtime voice of the Wichita State Shockers as we wrap up our look around the state here with trips to all three of the programs. And Mike Kennedy joins us here now. We talked with him earlier this week on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Well, Mike, thank you so much. And obviously the big news with Wichita State was not necessarily on the court, but with you and obviously you, with you revealing your health and your cancer and losing a long streak of consecutive men's basketball games that you had been on the radio for, and the outpouring of love and support for you was so well deserved. So first of all, let me just ask, how are you doing?
You know, I'm really doing very well. I just passed the three-quarters pole on my treatment, and everything's gone well. I haven't had any side effects. I feel fine, and so I think it's going as well as it possibly could.
And it's sounding fine and back to work, and how excited were you to get back behind the microphone after the 1 week off?
Very much so. It was just weird not being there, But, you know, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it might be, just simply because I knew I was making the right decision to keep this thing on track with the treatments and so forth. And then you touched on it, you mentioned it, the response that I got after it got out there was truly overwhelming. I mean, I knew I'd hear from some people. I've done this a long time, and I know a lot of people, but it was unexpected just how much response I got, and it's really been gratifying.
Well, very, very deserved, and certainly wish you the best the rest of the year and many future seasons to come as the voice of the Shockers. Obviously, this one has been a tough one for Wichita State men's basketball, but last time out, the road win at Alabama Birmingham, 74-66. A really good start. Maybe it stumbled a little bit at the finish against the Blazers, but for, you know, 30 minutes or so, the really good performance by Wichita State. What stood out to you about that game?
Well, nothing's easy with this team, that's for sure. And it's been kind of an odd year in that this is a team that is not overall as talented as some of the best teams in this conference, but they have played with all the best teams in the conference, and it's frequently come down to being right there at the end and then not quite able to get it finished off. And so the way that one was going, there was certainly some feeling that, well, this could be another one of those, but they sucked it up, found a way, made a couple of big plays at the end, and so that was a nice thing to see, because that hasn't happened enough this year. Prior to that game, they had been in nine games this year where the margin was five either way with 5 minutes to go, and they were just 1-8 in those nine previous games. So it's really good to get one of those. And UAB is a very good team.
Hey, Mike, how important has Kobe Rogers been for this team? I know with last year him having to sit out due to transfer requirements, but he's been a good addition to this Shocker program.
Well, it's, you know, a little scary to think where they would be without him. But what's been tough for him, I mean, he's established as one of the best three-point shooters in the conference, and everybody knows he's the one legitimate, consistent three-point threat for Wichita State. So especially since we got into conference, he's seeing double teams constantly anytime they try to come off a ball screen with him. The, you know, they're double teaming him off of those, and people have tried to be physical with him, and so he's had to adjust to a lot, but he's done a great job. And just to illustrate how important he is, he's shooting 38, probably went up closer to 39% from three the other night, and everybody else combined is just over 27%. So he is truly the only long distance threat the Shockers have most of the time.
Wichita State voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Shockers 12-17, 4-12 in the AAC with two regular season games to play. As you are listening to this, they'll be at home for Senior Day against Rice at Charles Koch Arena, and then a road trip the next Friday on the 8th to take on Tulane on the road. And you mentioned the shooting woes that the Shockers have had, and the other thing that seems to stand out in terms of why the record maybe isn't where Shocker fans have come to expect it to be has been some turnover issues that Wichita State has had. How do you feel like the offense has run this year, and where have been maybe the shortcomings where they have not been able to get to their shot as often as they would like?
The biggest thing is just that there isn't really a true point guard. Bijan Cortez would sort of fit that description, but they didn't get him until the middle of December. Because of an issue with transfer and some academic stuff. And they don't have that guy that really can create and make plays. The other guards have done the best they can. But that's kind of led to the turnover issue. And, just to give you kind of a little depth, Paul Mills in his first year, his last four teams at Oral Roberts were all top 30 in the country in fewest turnovers. So it's not like he doesn't know how to develop a team to not turn it over. There's a lot of emphasis on that in practice and in video sessions, but still some bad decisions sometimes. And the game at UAB the other night was a great example. They were playing really, really well and then turned it over 8 times in 6 minutes and allowed UAB to get back in the ball game. So it's been an ongoing issue, and I don't know that there's a whole lot that can be done to counteract that. What's been strange is the other night, for instance, they had more turnovers than UAB, but they had more points off UAB's turnovers. So more often than not, though, that hasn't been the case.
Mike, what's a big emphasis you want to see from this team, these final two regular season games and then to the American Athletic Conference Championship Tournament, and then possibly going into the off season? Because if you look at it, the Shockers are going to return quite a bit for next season, too.
Well, first of all, the first part of your question, the goal right now, a season like this, your goals are kind of modest, but the first goal right now is with the format this year with 14 teams in the conference, the bottom four teams have to play on Wednesday of the tournament and would theoretically have to win. Somebody playing that day would have to win 5 games in 5 days to win the tournament. So if they can stay out of that bottom four, then it would be 4 games in 4 days, still a huge task, obviously, but at least it improves your chances a little bit. So they are fighting it out with 5 other teams to stay out of those last 4 spots, and the last 2 games are head-to-head against 2 of them, Rice and then Tulane, and they do have a win in their only matchup with UTSA. They've split with Tulsa. So they're in a position where they still could play themselves out of that bottom four, and I think that's the emphasis. Try to build on the win at UAB. They played well against Tulsa at home, but then played really poorly in between those 2 games against Temple. So if they can get a little consistency and go into the tournament outside that bottom four, I think that'll just kind of improve their outlook and make them feel like, give them a little bit of enthusiasm. Going forward, yes, theoretically, there are only 2 players who are out of eligibility at the end of this year, but I think there'll be more changes than not. Not a complete overhaul, certainly, but I think there'll be some changes, and they've signed 2 really good guards already to fill those 2 scholarships they know they're going to have, but I think there'll be some more adjustments. One thing Paul Mills has mentioned is that he not only didn't know the personnel on this team coming in and had to learn that, but he didn't know the conference. And I think now that they've seen the quality of this conference, the quality of players you have to compete in this conference, that will certainly affect how they approach the off season.
Mike Kennedy, my guest. He's the voice of the Shockers. You've mentioned a couple of times about Paul Mills, of course, the first-year head coach. And you mentioned before we started recording today that you felt like he was one of the best coaches that you've gotten to work with. Certainly, you've seen a lot of the good ones with the great run in the 80s. Obviously, a lot of people here more recently will look at Coach Turgeon and obviously Greg Marshall. Isaac Brown was a conference coach of the year just a couple of years ago. What has stood out to you about Paul Mills, and why do you think that he's the right fit for Wichita?
Well, first of all, you know, one of the things that was a strength with Greg Marshall was the fact that he had been in programs like College of Charleston and Winthrop, and he really saw at Wichita State the potential that was there, how good it could be, where sometimes you get a coach coming from bigger programs, a different history. They only see it as being capable of so much. Now, Paul was an assistant at Baylor, certainly in a great program there, but came in with Scott Drew when they were building it from a pretty bad place. And then at Oral Roberts had almost unprecedented success there. And so, you know, he's kind of learned how to build with maybe, you know, less of an opportunity to recruit the very best players out there. He's also kind of a mathematics guy. He is tremendously analytical and really has an ability to look at things and really see deep down to what are the couple or three key things that give us a chance in this game. And for as deeply as he looks at things and as deeply as they prepare, he has a knack for presenting all of that in a way that's easy for the players to understand, and so it's not too complicated, but I just think he has a really good sense of how to go about things and knows what it's going to take here. The other part of the equation now is, you know, there needs to be continued growth in NIL available here, because that's such a key factor now in building any program, and they're working on that, but it still needs to grow some.
Well, one thing that is going to change, and it seems like change is happening so much, but there will be some change in the membership of the American Athletic Conference last year, of course, for Southern Methodist, as SMU will be off to what they hope will be greener pastures in the ACC, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. But there's been a lot of change in the American, and certainly it has not been the conference that Wichita State joined a couple of years ago. What are the Wichita State feelings about the conference, and how do you feel like the conference, now that you've seen it and see what it's kind of going to look like moving forward, subtracting SMU, what do you feel about the fit in this conference for Wichita State?
I think it was a good decision to move. It's, you know, it's challenged them to raise the level of the student athletes they're recruiting in a lot of sports, not just men's basketball. But I think it's been good. You know, with the three that left this past year, when you look at the transition, obviously there's not a Houston that came in this new group, because they're still up there, top five in the country. But in Florida Atlantic, you got a school that was in the Final Four last year. Mm-hmm. It's a very good program. And then some of the others have certainly shown that they can be pluses for this conference. I think the conference is tougher top to bottom this year than it's been at any time since Wichita State's been in the league. I mean, even the teams that are fighting it out of the bottom have some very good players. So I think in the long run, it was a good move, and you know, who knows what will happen in the future. I don't know that there are any specific plans right now to replace SMU, but at some point, you know, they'll probably look at that. So, I think you know, right now it may be a two-bid league is all this year, but I think this league has the potential to consistently be a league that will get multiple bids to the NCAA tournament, and that was the goal in moving to this conference.
I think they had talked about maybe getting Army in, but that would be a football-only situation, which wouldn't really affect right. Wichita State. You know, I know that we had kind of said, hey, we're going to talk about basketball, but you know, since I'm doing the show, I can kind of pivot if I want to. I want to ask you about Wichita State baseball. That's a new era coming up, and obviously I know that your full focus is on basketball right now, but the Shocker baseball team with a new head coach, a 4-3 start to that era. What have you seen so far about Shocker baseball here in the very, very early goings of the 2024 season?
Well, just a slight correction. It's not my only focus. I'm doing some baseball.
Yes, you are.
So I've had to.
Spring crossover is real for you.
Yeah, but I really like this staff, and Brian Green really won a lot of people over when he arrived, because it couldn't have been more obvious and sincere on his part how thrilled he is to be here, how much respect he has for Gene and Brent and the program that they built over the years, and he is very committed to getting Wichita State back to that level. I think he's got a really good staff, and, I mean, they came in late, you know, in recruiting time, and ended up with, like, the 36th ranked recruiting class in the country. And there are a lot of new faces. They kind of went equally to freshmen and junior college recruits to add to the few that remained. And having rebuilt almost an entire roster, they're really off to a good start. And I think there's a lot of potential for this to be an exciting season. They were picked seventh in the conference because nobody knows who they are or what they have. But they've played Virginia, Auburn, Iowa. They're, you know, playing, of course, a really good regional schedule with the Oklahoma schools, KU and K-State. And I think that they're going to turn out to be a pretty darn good team this year.
Final question for you. The Rice Owls will wrap up the season there at Charles Koch Arena for the year. That'll be the game that's coming up tonight as our listeners are hearing this at 6 o'clock. Interesting that this will be the first time that you have played Rice this season with the unbalanced schedule there in the AAC. And as you've started to wrap up your prep, what stands out to you about what might be the key matchup between the Shocks and the Owls?
They're a really interesting team. They got off to a kind of poor start, and then they're playing much better over the last 2 to 3 weeks. The strangest thing about them this year is that they have won 5 conference games. 4 of them are on the road. They did not win their first conference home game until last weekend, and so they're like almost a totally different team on the road. They have some perimeter guys that can score. They shoot the 3, which makes anybody dangerous, and so it'll be an interesting matchup. But again, I think Wichita State will be pretty focused on, you know, this new possibility, like we talked about earlier, of staying out of that bottom 4 and having some momentum going into the tournament. But Rice is a good example of what I mentioned earlier. They're one of the bottom rung teams in the conference this year, but they've got some guys who can play, and so anything can happen.
American Athletic Conference Championship is in Fort Worth, Texas on the 13th through the 17th, and I believe that we are scheduled to carry through Westwood One the AAC Championship game. So
I believe so.
Yeah, so we may be having some Wichita State basketball on our airwaves on KVOE if they can make a run. Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers from Wichita. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
I mean, and like I said last week, and the week before that, when we had Brian Haney and Wyatt Thompson on, three of the absolute best guys you could ever get to know, and I've known them all, been blessed to know them all for a number of years, and awesome to be able to have all of them on our show here for you. A couple of things to get to here before we wrap up the schedule that we should have mentioned probably earlier. Boy, KU, spending some money on that old football program right now, Tim.
The commitment is being made without question as Lance Leipold signs a new deal. A couple more mil a year for yes. Coach Leipold, and they also added salary for staff. And man, I mean, as a KU fan, you can't ask for anything more. I mean, Travis Goff and that administration is really making a commitment to that sport, which has been needed for, obviously, forever. And they're moving certainly in the right direction. Yeah. And they obviously know they've got the right guy heading the program.
There's
so
no
good
doubt
to see
about that at all. And then, Dylan, I am told that there is some a different kind of basketball that may be available for our patrons tomorrow.
Yes, the Hot Flashes Granny basketball team, they are playing a doubleheader tomorrow at the Emporia Rec Center. They will be playing the Oklahoma All-Star team and Wichita Sugar and Spice at 2 and 3. The two other teams that are not the Hot Flashes will play each other at 1 p.m. So shout out to Carmen Leeds for mentioning that, giving us a holler here, and I told her, I said, we'll get it on for you.
Okay, well, good luck to those ladies in those endeavors. So I guess it's time to wrap it up. What else do we have coming all over the weekend? If Kansas basketball at Baylor. That pregame will start here in about 90 minutes on KVOE. Tip-off is at noon.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, that will be a tough one, especially without Kevin McCullough. Again, we're told he's a game-time decision.
Game-time decision.
We'll have an area doubleheader, both games featuring Olpe. Coming up today on Country 101.7, it'll be the Olpe girls taking on Marmaton Valley. That'll be the late game. And then an Olpe Madison part two, the revenge game coming up here. And these are big ones. Obviously, state tickets are on the line for both of these champions today. And the Emporia High girls taking on Great Bend, trying to punch their ticket to White Auditorium, Spartan Gymnasium, 440 for the pregame coverage and the tip-off at 5 o'clock. Dylan Sherwood will be on the call right here on KVOE. Later tonight on KVOE, we will have Tennessee at Alabama. We'll join that at tip-off immediately following our coverage of Emporia High School basketball. Turnpike tussle today, Emporia State and Washburn. RV Doc pregame show at 12:30, tip-off at 1 o'clock from Lee Arena inside the Petro Allied Health Center in Topeka on Mix 104.9. And, of course, for all of these games, you can listen online at kvoe.com/listen or via the Odyssey app. And then tomorrow, our first Royals spring training game. We'll have 2 o'clock coverage. It's hard to believe Royals baseball is already around the corner. But here we are, and it'll be the Royals tomorrow with a 2:05, obviously abbreviated, highly abbreviated pregame show for spring training. But one of two spring training games that we'll get on, tested it all out. Audio sounds from Ryan Lefevre, crystal clear.
Beautiful.
Getting the closures, so we're going to use that as our test to make sure we've got everything situated for what we're hoping is a very long season and hopefully a lot better season of Royals baseball.
It can't get a whole lot worse.
It'd be real hard.
What is it, 26 days until opening day?
Something like that. I just need to check Sean's vacation time because
he's usually a good indicator. Day. I'm going to be on middays for him that day.
He is off that day to go to the game. So that is the story for this weekend. Really appreciate everybody listening. Thank you to our guest, Coach Markowitz, and also to Mike Kennedy. Next week on the show, we'll be previewing Emporia High softball next week with Tommy McClure. We're also going to talk with James Westling of ESPN to get you a preview of the Big 12 tournament, which will be the next week. And boy, I feel like it's as wide open as it has ever been.
Yes.
With any team, like what, 9 teams can win the thing, probably?
Probably so. I think
Houston will be the favorite.
Yeah, and we were talking off air. You better be one of the top 4 seeds, because if you're not, you're really going to have to put together some solid days, and it's going to be a tough grind. But, it's going to be exciting.
That is what's coming up next week, so we will talk to you then. This is KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400, KVOE Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. humanitarian aid drops on Gaza have begun, according to a U.S. official familiar with the operation that was announced Friday by President Biden, one day after more than 100 people were killed during an incident around aid trucks. ABC's Tom Sufi Burge has more from Tel Aviv.
The Hamas-run health ministry saying more than 100 Palestinians were killed and dozens more injured. Israel saying its troops fired warning shots and only opened fire on people when they got too close to one of their tanks, adding dozens of people were crushed to death in the chaos. A UN team saying a large number of the injured in a local hospital had gunshot wounds.
Lawmakers in Alabama are moving to approve legal protections to IVF services after the state Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos should be considered children. Meanwhile, two major pharmacy chains announced Friday they're going to sell the abortion pill Mifepristone in pharmacies in areas where it's allowed. More from ABC's M. Nguyen.
Walgreens says it expects to start filling prescriptions within a week, providing potentially easier access to the drug in a small number of its locations where it's legal, including New York, Pennsylvania, and California. CVS says it will start dispensing in the weeks ahead in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.